Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
I put them Cheez-Its in the hummus. I was on the plane. Oh, my God. Sorry, my body is just remembering what the fuck it felt like for the first time.
Hi, I'm Eric.
I'm Brittany.
And we are...
For Colored Nerds. Yes, which is basically the conversations that black people have when white people are not around. Except we record them.
Yeah. And put them out into the internet.
Yes. For the world to hear.
Yeah. So this week.
Yeah.
Has sucked.
Yeah. This week sucked. Yeah.
So in light of that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the things you've probably already heard about. We're going to touch on Rachel Dolezal.
A little light touch.
Yeah.
A light tap, if you will.
Sadly, I think we're going to get into Charleston.
A little bit.
But because we want to change things up a bit.
Yeah.
Try to approach some lighter fare than what we usually do.
Yeah. And also because we need it this week.
Yeah. We're going to tell you a bit more about what we're thankful for.
Yes.
So.
With that said, on to the show, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brittany, you say you had something to say.
Oh, it's been a really interesting week. Just with everything that's been going on.
So much.
But I saw something really interesting. We hung out yesterday evening, you'll recall.
Yeah.
And we separated, and I went with two other folks back to our neighborhood,
yes.
Which is your former neighborhood.
Yes.
And, you know, we had to get on the L train and take it to the G.
L train Friday night. So much fun.
So much fun. And it was kind of early. Like, we had just kind of, like, done something kind of low-key. I think I was coming back at, like, 11. So it wasn't completely fucking buck wild yet. But as I was getting off the train at Lorimer, walking to whatever, Metropolitan it is on the G, whatever
yeah.
the fuck. On this week of all weeks, I saw a white woman
mm-hmm.
with box braids. Now... Box braids, for the uninitiated, are the braids that, like, well, a lot of times people call them poetic justice braids.
Yeah.
Janet Jackson wore them in the early 90s. I mean, like, who wasn't wearing them in the early to mid 90s? Like, they were a super popular hairstyle. And they made a reemergence. You know what? Actually, I'm going to give D.C., Washington, D.C. credit where it's due.
They were doing box braids for a while.
Then. Yeah. I want to say the high school kids down there were doing box braids in, like, 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
They made a really, I'd say, really huge resurgence maybe in the past like 3 or 4 summers,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, your average black girl. So this
yeah.
this week,
so,
right, so this week I saw a white woman walking toward me. She was probably about my age. And at first I was like, you know what, let me not, you know what I'm saying? Because like, even I got family members who it's not like if you see them immediately, you know, I got friends, it's not like if you see them immediately, you're going to know off bat, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying, that they're black. But I gave her a good old hard look, right? The kind of look that people maybe should have given Rachel Dolezal. But I gave her a good old hard look, and I was like, no.
No, you're really doing this.
You're really doing this. Like, no, you're an actual white woman. You actually have box braids. So my body tensed up, and I got stressed. And like I've said before, I talk a good game, but I'm not a fighting woman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have the physical ability. But I did give her the look. Because I have a look, and I'll also say this as well. I think maybe you've heard me ask people this question. Do you have a fucking problem? I gave her the look of, do you have... I made eye contact with her. And I was with another black woman.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that she had seen it either, but we confirmed after the fact that we had both given her the, do you have a fucking problem look?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to tell you something right now. speaking directly to white women who feel the need to get some Bo Derek raggedy ass cornrows.
Yeah. On whatever or locks.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Or locks. Or box braids or whatever the fuck. First of all, don't. Second of all, they don't look cute on you, so don't get to getting any ideas. They don't look cute on you. They are not for you. If you need exhibits, Twitter, Google Images, chock full of photos of your girl Rachel.
If you think you should get box braids, locks, or cornrows, you should ask Twitter.
Ask Twitter.
Post a picture of yourself and say, hey, Black Twitter, hashtag. I really want these locks. Is this a good idea?
Yeah. Do you think this is the look for me?
And people will advise you on the best way to go.
Yeah, they definitely will advise you on the best way to go. So, yeah, actually, Eric brings up a really good point. That was a really good – that's kind of like a nice little bumper. That's like a nice little bumper, a little safeguard to kind of keep you erring on the side of right. But just, bitch, don't do it. like, seriously, don't do it.
So, I mean, I think that's a good summation of – your feelings on kind of some of the events over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a lot of requests on Twitter. I feel like every Black person with a platform has gotten like, gotten like at least 15 to 20 tweets saying, so what are you thinking about Rachel Dolezal?
Yeah. I mean, that goes double for Ja Rule.
So, yeah, I just don't have the words to give or devote. Actually, someone who did have the words, someone who had some excellent words strung together and some nice sentences, Crystal. So if you want to hear my thoughts, listen to the first, like, what, 15 minutes of the read?
Yeah.
Listen to the first 15 minutes of the read.
I think it was not this past, maybe it's a couple, by the time this episode drops, it'll maybe be 2 weeks or week or two old. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to find the episode name.
Go ahead. Go on that phone. Go on that, what is it called? The Apple podcast app? I should know this.
Right next to For Color Nerds.
Yeah.
You'll also find the read. Imitation of Life. Because see, the thing is, we don't often shout out good work, like, other than ours.
Yeah.
You know? But sometimes you really got to be like, yo.
Yeah.
You need to go listen to somebody else's shit because it's real fucking good.
Yeah.
Go listen to the read, Imitation of Life, because... it's excellent.
It's excellent.
It's excellent every week, but it spoke to my spirit in the midst of this madness.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's my feelings on that. I think that's all that needs to be said for me. Did you have anything else?
I have nothing else. I think I will say I had one other question that I asked you on Twitter. And I know that they located the tanning salon that Rachel Dolezal was frequenting. But
like
my question, though, I'm sorry. I asked you this, and I'm still just so curious. That straw set. That's all. Anybody who has tips about Rachel Dolezal's straw sets, actually, don't bring them to me. I'm not a journalist. Maybe give them to Don Lemon. I don't fucking know. But just if you have any tips about Rachel Dolezal, or like if she was doing the shit herself.
I think she probably was. She said she got into doing, from like her adopted family members, she would like do their hair or something. She started just doing it to herself.
Interesting. I will say
she
this.
Got real familiar.
I will say this. This is a hot take, and this is the last thing I'm going to say on the topic. Hot take. Had Rachel Dolezal not been caught, 100% sure she would have had a fire YouTube channel with do-it-yourself you part with
right
and,
makeup tutorials.
Makeup tutorial, yeah. Oh yeah, I definitely think she would have had the fire natural hair YouTube channel.
Outfit
saying.
Of the day,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Today in blackness.
And then for those who are so inclined, you know, a lot of times natural hair Twitter goes along with, like, real strong with the exercise and the Bible quotes. It's like a triumvirate. So.
Staying woke with your girl, Rachel D.
Yeah, that's all we got for that.
Oh, man. So, sadly, like, the thing is, it's just too much fucking. Like, we just need some fucking time, man. We need a break.
Yeah, like, we need a break.
It's just too much going on. And, like, we're talking lightly because we don't know how to...
Yeah.
Like, I'm emotionally just spent.
Exhausted.
But, sadly, as you also know, there were some amazingly tragic and terrifying events in Charleston.
Yeah.
Recently. And... all I can say is that there's a lot going on in this country. And there's a lot that we, as Black people, I think, prepare ourselves for. You know, like, I'm prepared to experience a certain segment of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Because of just what I know this country to be. But certain things just go outside the realm of like what you're prepared to deal with and what we should have to deal with. Not that we should have to deal with the other shit,
yeah.
But like this is like this Charleston thing is just something. It's something else.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because the best words I've seen used to describe it are domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
And it's been frustrating to see, you know, people fight, white people fight to deny that label when this man's clear goal was to inflict fear for the purpose of triggering black people and
yeah.
killing black people.
Yeah, he was looking to exterminate us.
He was looking to send a fucking message.
Yeah. What freaked me out the most, because when I had kind of an early night on Wednesday, so I was asleep. Same. I didn't really know about it until I woke up. And I didn't get out of bed for like 45 minutes, hour. And what knocked me on my ass was that we've spent so much time, especially too, like in the wake of Khalif Browder, do you yeah. know what I mean? Talking about state violence and talking about how many of us are killed at the hands of the police or at the hands of the state or at people who or at the hands of people who feel like they're acting as an extension of the state. Or people who are fearing us, almost like a wrong place, wrong time. Like, and that's being extremely kind and putting it that way. But
yeah.
sort of like you met the wrong, like wild racist white person, and the wrong wild racist white person like caught you at the wrong moment. Do you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? These were kind of like these things that were like. I wouldn't call them totally random acts because, like, the conditions are always right.
Yeah.
But still, it was, like, these happenstance kind of situations. But this was, like, a premeditated act like this on
yeah.
such a scale that was such a blatant attack on black life. And that's not something I think that I'm actually used to in my lifetime. It's
no.
something that felt very – I realized that kind of violence – like, we talk about we're ready to deal with a certain set of circumstances. That kind of violence was not something that I was acquainted with, and I didn't really know how to feel. Like this is a Bible study. Like, my parents are retired, and I think Wednesday is always Bible study
yeah.
for everybody. My parents go to 11 a.m. Wednesday morning Bible study, and I usually call them every morning somewhere between 8 and 10 o'clock. But on Wednesday mornings, I don't, because I know where they're on their way to Bible study or they're there early or whatever. And, like, that's a space that I know intimately. Like, neither one of
yeah.
us really goes to church. I'm not especially religious, but that's still a place in my life that's very important. It's a space that's important. My parents' home church, there is a room in the basement that's named after my mother's mom, my grandmother, and my sister and sister-in-law, who are both queer women of color. That's where I was with my family when my sister-in-law got baptized by another queer woman of color who is a longstanding member of my church family. That is it's an important space for me. And also, not only that, like, it's a welcoming space, which is how they're even able to welcome this young, mongrel, disgusting fucking murderer into their space in the first place, because it's almost like Adam Serwer had some really good words. I probably retweeted a couple weeks ago when he was talking about Rachel Dolezal, but saying, like, the welcoming umbrella of blackness is like, if you're trying to meet us halfway, if you want to be in our space, if you fuck with us, we'll welcome you. We're pretty welcoming fucking
yeah.
people, which is why Rachel Dolezal, if people even felt like there was some racial ambiguity, but she was down for the cause, and speaking from, you know, pre her, you know, her parents calling her out and like, right, no, she's fucking white. But if she was down to hang out with us, people were welcoming her into our space. If this young man wanted to attend church, they were down to welcome him into their space. My view of church has always been that way. So to have somebody sit with them for an hour, sit with people who are like my cousins and my aunties and my parents for an hour and worship with them, only to murder them in cold blood, in such a premeditated fashion, I cannot describe to you how unsafe that makes me feel, because there's nowhere that I can be. There's nowhere that I can be.
Churches in general have always been our safe space.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been, it's been one of the few places we've been allowed to congregate. It's been one of the few places we've been allowed to congregate like by our like by ourselves, like to have some space for us. Mm-hmm. And it's, that's especially relevant in the context of Emmanuel, this particular church.
Yeah.
You know, because there were periods where they weren't allowed, like they had supervision in the church. They eventually, like at one point, they burned this church down, mm-hmm. and it was rebuilt, and it became this symbol. You know, it became this symbol.
When you say they burned this church down.
White people.
Right. You need to be as specific as possible. I'm serious.
Like, it's, this church means something. And I don't think this was lost on him.
Oh, no.
It's significant that in his mission or quest or whatever the fuck it was, mm-hmm. to inflict terror, mm-hmm. that he chose this symbol of black perseverance, this symbol of black cultural unity. It's not surprising to me at all, but it's still really, really fucking sad. I mean, you talk about church for you. It's the same way for me. It's the same way for me. That's where you were.
Yeah.
You know, that is where you were. Those are the spaces where we saw the most of us, like where I saw the most black people at one point, where I learned a lot of the cultural norms that make me feel complete. Mm-hmm. You know, you get those from church.
Yeah.
So to see an attack on that is, like you said, I don't think we have the tools.
Uh-uh.
And to be frank, I think it's important that while we can grieve, we have to understand the intent and try to find some sort of way to not let these spaces lose that comfort, that safeness for us. You understand? Because that's what he was trying to do. He wants to ruin those spaces for us by attacking something symbolic, something important to us. And it's just important that, like, no matter what is done, that we preserve that internally, because it's important. It's important. I don't, like you said, I don't even go to church that often.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll be damned if someone is going to attempt to ruin that.
Yeah.
Experience that place for me, for people who look like me.
Yeah.
For my kids, for my family, for my like you said, my mom.
Yeah.
My dad. Like, no. No.
Yeah, there's, we both struggled with this. And actually, I thought of you particularly that morning. And actually that night, you talked about shouting out good work. Your wife wrote, the most beautiful and heartbreaking essay about what it's like. Because, you know, you guys are, it's like any day now.
Yeah, literally.
any day now. About what it's like to reach, you know, the full term of your pregnancy on a day like that,
yeah,
where just being reminded that that's our national climate and this is the world that you're bringing a little black girl into. You talk about like preserving spaces and making sure that we keep those spaces hallowed for ourselves and try to regain some semblance of safety and comfort in the places where so many wish to see us exterminated and fearful. You know, we are, if we can't do an entire episode on this.
And we're not.
And we're not going to. Just like, I don't know. I guess I just don't know if there's a good way for me to express that we don't, where I'm at, I think we're both at a point where we don't really know what to do. And we're at a point where, yeah, like I said earlier, the conditions that we're seeing now are things that just haven't necessarily presented themselves on such a large scale in our lifetime. Like this, it harkens back to, you know, the four little girls church bombing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all the other church bombings that happened back in the day.
I mean, going back to that essay, you know, we talked before then. And sadly, we've had this conversation a lot. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on in this world.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't know how to prepare her for something like this. And I shouldn't fucking have to. I should not have to.
No.
And I'm fucking sick. Like, I'm sick. I'm sick of this shit. Like, I don't want to have these conversations with my wife. To take a step back, there's been a lot of stories produced about talking to your child about race. Mm-hmm. And don't get it twisted. I'm talking to her about race from an early age. But what I realized is I'm trying to, you know, my wife and I are trying to wrap our heads around how to present things that are so traumatic to her as early as possible so she can be prepared. As early as possible. Mm-hmm. And that is, like, that is infuriating at its core, because I don't get the luxury of trying to preserve some pieces of her childhood until I deem that she can handle it. Because the reality is she has to be, to a certain degree, prepared. But I'm not even fucking prepared. I'm not prepared for this.
I think about one of the survivors of the attack was a 5-year-old girl who knew already at 5 that playing dead was going to be the best way to get out of that situation. Like, she already knew at 5, this little black girl in Charleston already knew at 5 years old how to survive a gun massacre. Like, that is unconscionable to me. That's unconscionable to me. She already knew that in kindergarten, when a lot of people are negotiating, you know, reading skills. Like, she already knew how to survive an armed racist terrorist at 5. On one level, I'm like, you know, I'm like a regular person, 27-year-old woman. I have friends. I have a nice family. I have a job that I feel ambivalent about sometimes. And I have crushes on people that I talk to you about incessantly. And I'm like a human being. You know what I mean? I'm like a regular human fucking being. And I have like hopes and dreams and fears and all those things. And for the most part, I'm not really fucking hurting anybody. But there are people. There are still people. These are not old sons of Confederate soldiers that are slowly dying off. This boy was, what, 20 years old?
He's 21.
There are still people who are 21 and who actively sought out a flag of Rhodesia.
Yeah.
And a flag of apartheid South Africa. And, like, and proudly sourced these things and then stitched them onto a jacket and then had somebody else photograph him with these things on. Like, there are still very, very young people who are interested, actively interested in blowing my fucking head off just because I'm not white and I exist. Like, if you don't understand that this is where the fuck we are, I don't know what else to tell you. Because that's like exactly the point of understanding that I'm presently at. And that's all I have for you.
Yeah. So miss me with that fucking race blind shit.
Miss me with that fucking, sorry, I hate to apologize. I hate to apologize to other black folks, and I hate to apologize to my Christian brothers and sisters, but fuck that forgiveness bullshit. There's already people talking about we forgive you and shit like that. Fuck that.
I think it's important for people, like, if forgiveness is how you can get through, more power to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get that.
But I don't.
Like you said,
I give you a lot of credit because I don't.
No, I mean, I do understand. I'm not there, though. So, anyway. That's kind of where we're at on that.
Yeah. So, we're not, like we said, there's not going to be a whole episode on this because we don't have the space. We don't have the bandwidth.
And on that note, I think we should actually take a quick break.
Yeah. Hi, guys. It's Brittany, and I've got a few questions. Will you be in the San Fran area on Saturday, June 27th? Do you like black art? And do you at least like adult beverages? Yes? Great. Then come out and see me at the Museum of the African Diaspora's MOAD After Dark event titled Portraits of the Creative Class, Gifted, Innovative, Black. I'll be speaking on a panel with director Terrence Nance, Numa Perrier of Black and Sexy TV, and esteemed Bay Area artist William Rhodes about what it means to be a black creative these days. In addition to the panel, there will be art, music, alcohol, and lots of beautiful, brilliant black folks sharing their knowledge and stories. Should be a good time. So if you really want to come out and meet me, and I kind of hope that you do, at least, Portraits of the Creative Class will be held at Oakstop in Oakland on Saturday, June 27th at 6 p.m. If you want to buy tickets, head to moadblackcreatives.eventbrite.com. We'll also have a link in the show notes, in our newsletter, and on our site. Please keep in mind, I do accept any and all Mexican food presents. So if you've got a spare taco in your purse, got a burrito in your bag, holler at your girl. All right, hopefully I see you guys soon. Thanks.
So.
We're back.
We are back.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that, you know, we've had to talk. We've talked about the things we've talked about to this point. What we prepared for everyone today.
Yeah.
Was extremely light.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's actually kind of funny, I guess. Before any of this happened, I think it was maybe shortly after McKinley, but before Charleston, before Khalif Browder, before Rachel Dolezal, Eric suggested that we actually do an episode because, like, so many of our episodes are, like, about all of, like, the trials and tribulations and the most horrifying aspects of what it's like to be a black person in America on a day-to-day basis. He was like, why don't we just, like, talk about some shit that we like, for an episode? And I was down to do that. And now, actually, I'm glad that you made that suggestion because I think that this is a week that we could use that more than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
So, Eric, I think that you should start.
So, what am I thankful for?
Yes.
What do I like?
Yeah.
There are a few things that I feel like are essential to me being Eric and shaping how the world views me. But there's one tool in particular that I've, for almost as long as I can remember. Maybe as long as I can remember.
I'm so curious.
And that is the Andis T-liner.
What the fuck is that?
Clippers.
What? For your face?
Handy dandy Andis T-liners. You might not know what that is, but I would guarantee that all of my brothers have encountered T-liners at least once. From an early age, they were used to give me the ill shape up, to give me that perfect crisp line going across my forehead.
This was a long time ago.
Whatever. Anyway, you're rude. But then moving on, T-liners were there to save me from the ills, the tribulations of razor bumps.
Wait, I have a question. So wait, do you use the same clippers at home that you had available to you at the barbershop?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So that, and that's how you know, like, honestly, that's how you know when you've taken your shit to a new level. Because you go to the barbershop and, you know, you're like, you go get your shape up. And, you know, when I was balling, I would get my shape up every 2 weeks. This is like still at Howard when I had.
I was like, when you were balling, what period of life is this? Okay, but go ahead. Sure.
So when I was balling at Howard, I would go every 2 weeks. I'll go get my shape up. But then I started realizing, like, you know, my beard, my, like, goatee. Back then I had a goatee. My, like, goatee was, like, you know, it was growing in too quick. I was like, I really need to start taking care of this myself. And some people might not know, black men, we are very much, because our hair is, you know, our facial hair is coarse and curly. We have a predisposition to razor bumps.
Well, we discussed that when we talked about Bevel in episode 8, Blacks in Tech.
You know, while we definitely can shave with a straight razor, ultimately, it just, you know, sometimes it can be a bad situation. Shouts out to Bevel for, you know, even though I'm not aware, I've heard it really, really works for
some
people.
It does work.
But anyway, at that moment, I was like, hey, I really need to do something about this myself. So I went to my barber supply store and I said, I'm ready.
A barber supply store? What the hell is that?
They sell barber supplies.
Wait, is it a separate place from the beauty supply?
Yes, because beauty supply stores, I mean, it's mostly focused on, like, those hair products. Barber Supply, like, they do have some hair products, but it's mostly equipment.
What?
They will, like, help maintain them. Like, it's literally, you go there, they sell the all the equipment that you would need.
Interesting. I had no idea about that. I've been black 27 years. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, now you know. Mm. So, yeah, I went, I was like, I'm ready. I want my T-lines. And I got them, and it takes a little time. You're going to fuck up your line at least 20 times. I fucked up my line and been out here looking jank. That's how I really discovered I like hats.
I didn't know that. I just thought it's because you were balding.
Nah, I would really, because I started wearing hats at Howard a little bit. It started because I was like, damn, I've really taken my line back in a way that, like, cannot be fixed. So I was like, let me go ahead and cop this fitted. And it's T-liners, man. They are essential, and they just present wonders of opportunity every time I pick them up. They get a little too hot, though.
Heated?
Well, because it's a mechanical device. You're literally holding on to...
Oh, it's like your phone. If your phone gets hot when you talk on it.
Yeah. So you got to, like, usually you'll, like, your fingers get kind of singed. You start holding with your fingertips and still trying to, like, cut your hair. Shit is rough, man.
I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I guess it's my turn. We each prepared three things.
Yes.
Sorry, we should have talked about that. I was sitting there. I was like, we should mention this. I mean, whatever. This is fucking Good Morning America. Like, y'all here for the fucking professionalism. Oh, yeah. So, actually, I have a really good one. My first one is so good. There is this fucking amazing, and you can actually attest to this. There's this. Okay, so, like, let me back up. Let me just pull back for a second. So, we do call this show For Color Nerds. People are always jumping up my ass because they're like, oh, what are you so nerdy about? Honestly, because I think that my sexiness, so it costs people that they're just kind of they're taken aback by that. And they're like, there's no way this woman is nerdy at all whatsoever. And I'm like, no. Just believe me. But like, okay, like, I'll be honest. Like, I realized last week about Tuesday that I don't like any sports. I haven't seen any Avengers movies. I've never watched Game of Thrones.
Gotta get it together.
I know. I wanted to see them. I go to the movies like once every 6 months, but like, whatever. And like, I'm a kind of a little bit removed, I'd say, from like the present day, I will say, more dude bro masculine markers of like what people feel nerdiness
geekdom.
Geekdom is, which, like, one day we're gonna have a conversation about a lot of things that I'm legit nerdy about that a lot of people don't count as real just because they're feminine. But anyway, one of the things I'm actually not nerdy about is comic books. There are a few graphic novels that I really like. Shout out Why the Last Man, shout out Brian K. Vaughan. But I was recently pointed toward this fucking awesome comic book, and you could agree because you've read it. You can actually test. I want to shout out my friends Jordan and Michael, who are these really cool people that live in Chicago. They were super, super nice and gifted me the first four issues of this fucking amazing comic book called Bitch Planet.
Yeah,
it is made by this amazing woman, Kelly Sue DeConnick, and the artist, black man, Valentine Delandro. And it's like this really cool feminist, but also women's prison heat, or like Caged Heat, I think maybe is the movie that had Pam Grier in the 70s.
There were a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, like women's prison exploitation film. It's like part dystopian future, like part women's prison exploitation film, part Hunger Games, part like super awesome queer black feminist literature. Just, it's so fucking cool. Like, that's the best way that I can describe it. In, I guess, like the not too distant future, women who are non-compliant, like myself, and those of you who also are familiar with Bitch Planet, you totally know what the term non-compliant means. They're sent to go live on this other planet, which is like this prison, kind of like how Florida used to be a debtor's colony back in the day. And basically, you can be non-compliant for like a host of different reasons. You can be non-compliant for not keeping your husband sexually interested, by making your appearance not necessarily conventionally attractive, by gaining weight, by actually committing crimes, or just by being kind of like a loud, obnoxious, and raucous person like myself. You get locked away and you're sent to go live on Bitch Planet. I don't want to give too much away, but like,
it's actually really good.
It's really good.
Like, I mean, I don't want to say actually, like it's surprising, but it's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Quick reads too. I mean, comic books in general, I don't know. I think this is a good entry comic book because I was trying to convince Carla to read comic books a long time ago and she was like,
and she's the first person that I lent Bitch Planet to. I told her, I said, you need to read these and then Eric can read them.
Yeah. She went through the first four issues in like, almost like not even an hour. She was like, she was doing it.
I finished mine on a plane ride. Like, I got them in Denver, and then before my plane ride half even over, I was sitting there and I was like, oh, I need more issues. I want to say the newest issue is coming out like this coming week, so I'm really excited about that.
How often does she do once a month cycle?
It seems like once every 4 to 6 weeks. But yeah, and like, they're pretty cheap because they're comic books. Yeah. I would say, like, I'll provide the link to where you can buy them online, but I think a lot of, especially if you're in a larger city, you should be able to pick them up at like your local comic book store. But, oh, like I shouted out Why the Last Man and Brian K. Vaughan, if you like that work, if you like Saga, I would say that you'll definitely like Bitch Planet. The illustration is gorgeous. The main character, Kamau Kogo, is like this fucking dope ass, beautiful, strong black woman. There's Penny Roll. I don't want to give it away, but another just dope, fierce, amazing, strong black woman. And then at the end, after you read the entire issue, you get to the end and there's a letter from Kelly Sue DeConnick where she sort of like talks about it, interestingly enough, maybe some of the thoughts and desires that went into making that particular issue. And then after that, there's more. Mm-hmm. There's an essay. I want to say 3 out of 4 have been done by women of color. And like, they had Mickey Kendall. They had Danielle Henderson. And then they had this really awesome white woman, Megan Carpentier. I've been reading her work for like 7 or 8 years. She did an awesome essay. So it was an essay by a feminist in the back. And then after that, they have these fake ads where like, yeah, they actually sell the shit. Like, they'll actually sell like non-compliant fake tattoos. And people have been getting real tattoos, or they'll actually sell like garbage. You apply for them to send, like, they'll sell you garbage and they'll send it to you in the mail. And like, that's how like they manage to make some money. But it's really, really dope. It's really cool. It's really fun. It's really, like, the illustrations are gorgeous.
Yeah.
So if you get the chance to check it out, even if you're not into comic books, like, I'm not super into comic books. I would like to be, but like, I'm not that cool. But definitely, I would say, like, especially if you're a woman or you're a black woman and you felt like comics were not necessarily the most welcoming place for you, I would say Bitch Planet is a fucking awesome place to start.
I'd also say for the brothers too.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, like, it's difficult. I won't say it's difficult, but, you know, it's a journey in terms of understanding how things are stacked against women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think books like this really help to, like, showcase the irony where you might not have seen it. Like, some people just don't see how, like, crazy this shit really is.
Yeah. So I date a lot of those people.
So, yeah. So, I really enjoyed it. It was a really fun read.
Yes.
So, support.
Yes, support. Back. And also, like, to the rest of my non-compliant bitches out there, I stand in solidarity. So, back to you, Eric.
Well, keeping in a similar vein, my number 2, mm-hmm, woke children's books.
Oh, Say more.
We recently had our baby shower.
It was so beautiful.
Thank you. And it was book themed. We are very big book nerds. I mean, you might have been surprised considering the title, for Colored Nerds. But like, my wife and I really we love to read. We're readers. We want to instill that, you know, that same passion and love for reading in our child, in Peanut.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked, instead of cards, we mm-hmm said, hey, everybody, get us a children's book and write like something just in the book. Write a message to Peanut. Like, it was overwhelming how many we got. Like, we expected to get, like, maybe, you know, one from everybody. But we got, like, some people got, like, 2 and 3. Like, it was really great. Like, we filled up a bookshelf. And it's just, it's amazing to see, like, all the great books that we have access to read. Read to her.
Yeah.
Not just us. But I was really surprised at how many of those books have done such an, like, excellent job at highlighting issues of race, at incorporating feminism, and a lot of other things that I like to surmise as like woke. So, mm-hmm, helping you to stay woke. We are going to make sure we raise a very woke child.
Oh, yeah.
In particular, there are a couple. A is for activists.
Oh, yeah. That's a cute one.
I don't have the author's name. We'll include it in the show notes.
Yeah.
A is for activists. And another one that I really, really liked is Rad American Women from A to Z.
Mm.
And it's excellent. It's just a lot of biographies. I mean, this is going to be... like, out of her reading level for a little while. But it's really great. You know, it profiles a lot of great American women. First one being Angela Davis.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just nice to know that, like, we talked about, like, preserving childhood and preserving, mm-hmm, like, safe spaces. To know that some people have figured out ways to translate things that are important for them to know in the way that a child can appreciate. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, Woke Children's Book, thank you so much. Like, I will be, you know, I'm always looking to add to, like, our library. Uh-huh. We're going to get what you don't know. So, I'm about to put you up on game.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to make a bookshelf, like, a massive-ass bookshelf for our living room.
I think you told me that. Well, yeah, because you've been really feeling yourself on your carpentry skills.
Yo, my DIY game.
Yeah, you
really, is like
what did
too
you make yourself?
Too strong.
I feel like everything came from IKEA.
Well, most of it came from IKEA, but. But what we have done is like some IKEA hacks.
I
really enjoy IKEA hacks.
You do enjoy IKEA hacks. I don't enjoy anything having to do with it putting together or moving or taking apart furniture.
I mean, that part is not so fun, but it's nice to see something come from like pieces to go to something complete.
Anyway. That's so beautiful.
That's
a good way to put it. It doesn't make you seem anal retentive at all. I like that.
Anyway, so back to you.
Oh my God. You're going to hate me for my second one.
Oh Lord.
Okay, so y'all. I rarely am wrong.
And you sound like me just now.
I know. I'm rarely wrong. But like when I am wrong, I really do like to own up to it as soon as possible because it's dickish and rude to just try to sit in the juices, just to like sit in the au jus of just your wrongness. So I want to go ahead and come clean right now. I've been living 27 years on this planet and I didn't want to listen to y'all when y'all told me that Cheez-Its.
What?
Yes, Cheez-Its were delicious. The fuck? I'll tell you something right now. If you're over the age of 7 or 12, I'll bump it up. If you're over the age of 12 and you haven't tried Cheez-Its yet, don't start now because the shit is addictive. I honestly, really, and motherfucking truly, I don't know why. I think I just used to feel weird about cheese when I was a kid because I just didn't understand where it came from, which is probably ancestral because you know that 75% of black people.
Lactose intolerant. I struggle.
So as a child, I probably was like, we didn't have cheese in Africa like this. We didn't have this cow's milk cheese. Yeah. We didn't have this orange British cheddar cheese in Africa. So
let alone American cheese.
Right. Let alone American cheese, which just melts on contact of hot breath. So like, I don't understand that at all whatsoever. So I was very wary of Cheez-Its. And also I was a really picky eater when I was a kid, but I didn't like that peanut butter crackers. You know, sometimes peanut butter crackers would come with the cheese crackers and the peanut butter.
That shit was good.
Well, ooh. I mean, ooh. Like, yeah, I just wasn't, I think that freaked me out. Because I just thought about, like, well, would I put cheese and peanut butter together in my real life? No. So why am I eating these orange cheddar-ass crackers with this sweet-ass peanut butter? That's nasty. I also didn't eat jelly. I still don't eat jelly. I didn't eat jelly as a child. I think it's nasty. I think jelly is, jam, I can kind of fuck with in certain contexts.
What the fuck is the difference?
No, jelly is different. Jelly has corn syrup and shit in that jam. Jam, I can kind of be okay about. Preserves, I will preserve myself. Not myself, my body. I am preserving my body.
What did he say? I got to moisturize
my situation and preserve my sexy. Exactly. I haven't followed Diddy on any social medium in probably 6 or 7 years. But those were good days. Yeah. With just the plus signs, positive energy. Take that. Yeah, no. Fuck, man. Cheat. So like, I was coming back from Denver on the same flight where I was reading Bitch Planet, and I had gotten, you know how like the Sabra hummus has like the little pretzel crackers that come with it?
Yeah.
So they give you too much hummus for the crackers. And you're sitting there feeling like an asshole with this cup full of hummus.
I ain't ashamed. I dig my finger in it. I ain't ashamed, but I paid for this shit. I'm about to eat it.
I don't want to do that. I like to have a little bit of crisp with that. So like, I was stressed out at the airport. I was like, probably gonna miss my flight, I think. I was like, you know what? Today's the day I'm feeling free. I'm gonna try these Cheez-Its. Oh my God! I put them Cheez-Its in the hummus? I was on the plane. Oh my God. Sorry, my body is just remembering what the fuck it felt like for the first time.
First of all, this is the corniest conversation we had in a long time.
I'll tell you, I put them Cheez-Its in this hummus, and I was sitting there reading Bitch Planet. I put this shit in my mouth. I was like, bitch, what? Like, what? That's how I felt. I could not fucking believe how good it was. So now I'm always like standing in the bodega like, what am I going to get? Now, a lot of times if I'm drunk and I'm inside the bodega, it's like easy decision. I'm like, let me get my 50-cent bag of Cool Ranch Doritos. Let me get my Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie. Go home, take off all my clothes, get in my bed, pull the covers up under my armpits, and then just sit there with my phone in one hand and then just eating my snacks in the other until I fall asleep. Hashtag team eat alone, hashtag single forever. But now, if I have a little hummus at home, I just go and get that little 50 cent bag of Cheez-Its. I'm fucking done. I bleed orange now. I'm really thankful for Cheez-Its. And like I said, if you're over the age of 12 and you haven't had Cheez-Its yet because you thought they were nasty, don't fucking start. It's like smoking.
On Cheez-Its, though, they got some new Cheez-Its.
I don't like flavors.
What?
But maybe, I don't know, it took me 27 years.
Have you ever had them?
Maybe when I'm like 64. Is 27 times 2 64?
I don't even fucking know.
It's 54. I know. That's a good point. You guys, you're supposed to be helping Peanut with her homework in like six,
not
7 years.
Today.
You gotta get your abacus game together. But like when I'm 54 years old, maybe it'll take me another 27 years. Then I'll be sitting on, it's not even going to be podcast then. It's just going to be Braincast. It's going to be like Apple Mindcast. I'm going to be like, have y'all had these white cheddar Cheez-Its?
No, they got the Cheez-It Puffs. It's kind of like,
disgusting.
No, it's good. It's kind of like a mix. At first I was like, because like, I'm a purist.
That's
the
true.
Original cheese is fucking
perfect.
Excellent.
Whoa.
So anyway, the Cheez-It Puff, it's kind of like a mix of a Cheez-It and a Cheeto. And they have this new one. It's like a spicy one. It's kind of like a Chipotle. Like, and it's actually, it's pretty legit. It's pretty
serious?
Legit. We were coming back from D.C. Carla's BFF got engaged. Congratulations.
Congrats.
And we needed some snacks. We didn't have that much time. In Union Station, we were like, all right, let's just get what the fuck we can so we can, throw it in the bag and get on the bus. And we grabbed this big ass, like six, because everything is way too fucking expensive. There's $6 bag of cheeses.
Yeah.
And proceeded to destroy them on the fucking bus because they were excellent.
That's interesting. Cheez-It Puffs, you say?
Cheez-It Puff.
All right, back to you.
So the last one is one that, while I'm extremely thankful for it, but it is a little bit of a love-hate relationship. It's a place, and a place that I've come to know far more than I have ever, ever thought that I would. And that place is...
I know what it is already.
IKEA.
I knew it.
So, you know, I mean, everybody who isn't just balling out of control.
Like me.
Yeah, like, and who doesn't have, like, CB2 West Elm money.
Right.
Like...
Our house money.
Yeah.
Like, Ray Moore Flanagan money.
Exactly. Restoration Hardware money.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you're not balling out of control, you know that IKEA struggle. Yeah. Like, and I say struggle, but, I mean, the reality is it's a come up. You know, you can make your place look a million combinations of nice.
Mm-hmm.
And not pay that much money.
True.
But you got to go through so much. You got to really want your apartment to be furnished cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
Because IKEA...
Just be clear, you are referencing yourself right in that statement. You have to really want your apartment to be furnished cheaply.
It's true. Like, I feel that in my bones. Do you understand? You understand? My hands were fucking raw the other day.
Ew.
Like, just... blood red. Maybe not actually bleeding, but blood red.
I hate you.
Because I had to put together this changing table. It's like changing table.
That's what that is?
Yeah, it's a changing table. Like the top folds out into a changing table, and it's also like a dresser. And the thing about IKEA furniture is in the instructions, they're like 50 fucking page instruction book.
No words.
It'll tell you to use a screwdriver. And you're always like, you know what? Fuck that shit. I'm about to use my fucking drill. And half the time, you end up screwing it in crooked or too much. And, like, it always comes out a little jank. So I was like, this changing table, my child is about to lay on this while, you know, I change her diapers.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to have her fall on the fucking ground.
No.
Carla would kill me.
I would kill you.
So I was like, let me do this the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the picture with the little like person, little IKEA person, because it's, you know.
Yeah.
I hate
that motherfucker.
Right?
Yeah.
He's looking at you smiling like.
You can't do this shit.
You about to lose like 5 hours of your life. So, you know, like it said screwdriver. So I got the fucking screwdriver.
Uh-huh.
I had one like little ass screwdriver and I'm screwing all these fucking things into this particle board to make this fucking changing table. And by the end, literally my hands are like raw. But like, baby gotta have somewhere to get them diapers changed.
For the love of Peanut.
For the love of Peanut.
For the love of Peanut.
And like, I realized after the changing table, it's probably not gonna be the last thing, because as I said, I'm gonna do like a massive like bookshelf installation.
Right. Paul Bunyan on it.
Like, everything in our house is fucking IKEA. I just realized that. I mean, it looks good. Don't get it twisted.
No, your house looks great.
Hemnes? Yo, Hemnes is that shit.
Wait, is Hemnes like the, which one is that?
That's like our bedroom set.
Okay.
It's all Hemnes.
Oh, I haven't seen your bedroom since we helped you move and like it was empty.
Oh, bedroom's fly.
Oh.
Bedroom's
fly.
Oh,
I have to check it out.
But yeah, like it looks so nice. And once you get there, you know you're not going to have it for like, but like 3 years, four years.
Yeah, well, it's like if you try to move more than twice with some IKEA furniture, you're going to be like, oh, my furniture's all put together. Sit down on your bed. Just be flat back on your ass.
Speaking of, when we moved, so we got movers for the first time. Uh-huh. Man, I ain't even lie. I felt rich.
Oh, getting movers is the shit. It's the shit.
Yo, change your life.
Yeah.
We got movers for the first time. He came in the bedroom. He was like, so y'all taking that bed? And we were like, yeah.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, we're going to take it. He was like, nah. And I was like, nah, what you mean? I mean, I think if you turn it, he was like, nah, son. Like, and it's a white man I'm talking to. And he was like, look, we could, but once we get it out and to your apartment and in your apartment, it's just not going to be the same as it used to be. He was like, I just don't think structurally it can take it.
It can take it?
And I was like, I looked at him. I looked in his face and I felt like in this moment I was looking into this man's soul.
Yeah.
And he was being as honest and as careful with my own feelings as he could be. He was literally saying like, bruh. It's not going down. It's not going to happen.
Damn.
So we had to break that motherfucker down. Threw it away.
I'm sorry. But
we got the new hotness.
Yeah, I'll have to check out because I mean, I was over there for the baby shower. I was like, I was caught up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I was caught up.
It was a lot of stuff going on, and then also like the experience. I mean, there's been like articles written about like relationship broken. One, that's how I know me and Carla in it to win it because I've been IKEA. Like, I can't even fucking count how many times I've been IKEA in the past like 3 months.
I know. Every time I talk to you, you're always like, oh well. After I come back from IKEA, and I'm like, all right, goodbye, bye.
Yeah. So, but we make it through. We go in there. You know, we're focused. We got a list. We're like, we're going to do this. But you still get caught up. You want to sit on that other bed. You want to sit on that other couch and see if you want that couch. See if you want this table.
See, the one time that I went to IKEA with a boyfriend, I was only buying shit for me. If you're going in kind of for your own shit, I think you can survive. If only one of you is going to IKEA to buy something and y'all can't figure it out, you need to break up because it's just not going to work. But yeah, no, it was just stuff for me. So it was kind of stressful. But like, we were still able to go to Fairway after that and flourish.
Damn.
Right.
That's another, like, Fairway is just as rough.
God, good God almighty. Are you up to buy cleaning products? I didn't know that you could get into a fight if whether you're like a Fantastic or a 409 person or if you're a Fabuloso person or acting like literally like I legit almost ended a relationship over being like, I didn't know when you thought you was too good for Fabuloso.
Fabuloso is that shit.
I know. It was me. I was the person who was in the wrong. I didn't want to get Fabuloso and put it on my stove immediately.
You got money.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to do that immediately. Right. I had a little bit of money. Like, it's important to have the bottle of Fabuloso in your house.
Right.
But I just didn't want to. I didn't want to start there.
That's how you know you're in a safe space. When you see a bottle of Fabuloso,
you're like, this is for me.
Yeah.
Like, this is for me. But yeah, y'all did that together for your house together. And y'all have been multiple times. That's like.
Yeah. I think we'll be done with this space in like two more trips. And I think we'll be done. Yeah.
But yeah, no, shout out IKEA. Actually, I will say this. You're an adult.
Yeah. Wow. A zen moment right
now. I know. I drink out of Hello Kitty cups at my house and at work. So.
I mean, I'm drinking out of a mug.
Take that. You drink out of a cat mug.
A cat mug right now. So what can I say? I'm not too much better.
Okay. So this is my last one.
Yes.
This is corny, actually.
As I mean,
yeah,
you usually are.
That's true. I am corny. A lot of people don't know that I'm a sensitive, corny person. My last thing that I'm thankful for is my friends and family, even you. You know, this past week was rough. And like, there were points at which, like, I think a lot of us on Thursday were at work just stressed out and just kind of like not able to process the news. And like, it's been a bad couple of 2 weeks. You had Bikini and you had Rachel Dolezal. You had Khalif Browder and you had Charlotte. And it's just been like one thing after another. And there have been other things, too, that have been happening. And some days I wake up and I'm just like, fuck. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think we've acknowledged that. But there are people in my life of all stripes and colors and ages who do a lot to mitigate the daily stress and like do a lot to mitigate just like how depressing some of this really is. And so I'm really appreciative of my friends and family for always reaching out, checking up on me, you know, keeping me in good spirits and just like holding me and each other the fuck down. So I really, really appreciate that. And also, since we're here, really appreciate you guys, the fact that you guys, you know, listen. Yeah, it really, really means a lot. I mean, the fact that, like, there are a lot of people who, like us, went to work this week and just, like, didn't get a chance to vent or had to hear a bunch of racist bullshit.
Yeah.
And they couldn't say or do anything about it. And I feel very, very lucky that we at least have enough of an audience that we are expected to come and have these conversations every other week. So thank you guys a lot for listening. It really, really means a lot. I don't think we can overstate, like, how much we appreciate the fact that you guys, like, keep showing up.
Definitely. I mean, we wish we could do it more often.
I wish we could do it more often, too. Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Oh, what, is there another thing that you're thankful for?
Yes. There is one more thing that I know we're both thankful for.
What's that?
It's something that every time we have it, we feel a strong sense of community. Mm-hmm. We feel complete. Mm-hmm. We feel self-actualized. Like,
oh.
We just, as soon as we open its container, we've just tapped into that zen moment. And do you know what that thing is?
I think I might have some clue. When you said container, I knew it wasn't the blood of the lamb.
You would be right. And that thing that we are both thankful for, and I don't often speak for you.
Uh-huh.
Is Popeye's chicken.
I am inclined to 100% agree.
Popeye's chicken is excellent. And we've talked about Popeye's chicken before.
We have talked about Popeye's chicken before.
Somewhat at length. But
somewhat at length.
But I don't think we can talk about it enough.
No, we can't.
Because this show would not exist to a certain degree. To a certain degree.
Our relationship wouldn't exist. Exactly.
Oh, Lord. We would have never got it.
No. Never would have made it. I'm sorry.
And we're different in our expressions of Popeyes. Like, you like...
Wingtips.
Wingtips.
Yeah.
And you also like bone-in chicken.
I like bone-in chicken. I like a nice, mild chicken thigh.
I like a thigh, too. All right, well,
but, you know, you like
I'm
spicy
always
chicken.
Spicy.
And a lot of times you get the strips.
I like the tenders. The tenders, like, if I'm trying to be mobile, you know,
uh-huh.
Like, if I got to do a lot, I'm going to go for the tenders because it's a very, like, it's very flexible food. It's, you don't have to go through too much. Like, your fingers aren't going to be as, like, you're not going to have the same level of, like, grease and, like, you know.
I guess you're right. No, I know, because sometimes I'll bite into a thigh, and a thigh is, like, the fattiest and most delicious piece of chicken.
Yeah.
You bite into a thigh, and, like, this is disgusting that I'm saying this, and, like, but like everything else that I say on here, it's not going to help me fucking get married or find my husband in the future. I like it when, like, the skin cracks. And then, like, when the chicken really hot and, like, just, like, the juice just comes down and just hits your chin.
It just feels like home.
It does feel like home. So, I guess, you know, thank you. Thank you, Popeyes.
Thank you, Popeyes.
Louisiana Kitchen.
Sweet Heat.
Black and Ranch.
Tomato, tomato.
It takes all kinds. But thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate having you. And, you know, just do whatever you need to do, man. Like, if you feel like talking about it, talk about it. If you don't feel like talking about it, you don't have to. And if you feel like you got to eat some chicken, eat some chicken. If you feel like you want to eat some Cheez-Its. If you feel like you want to get box braids. No, some of you can. We already discussed those of you who shouldn't do that.
Phone a friend.
You always have the available option. To phone a friend. So, yes, you know, just stay safe and as best you can. And sometimes it feels like a futile thing to say. We care if nobody else does.
Yeah. So the one thing that actually, this is actually the last thing. The one thing I do want to say before we go, if you appreciate us talking at length about Cheez-Its and IKEA and occasionally issues of the day, please, 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 please.
Yes. Rate, review, subscribe.
Yes. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Peace.
Shh.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.